Thank you, Sue. Well, we meet here tonight. The Republicans are having a debate across town. Now, I don't know about you, but I've watched a couple of those debates. I've got to be honest. I never thought I'd say this. I'm beginning to miss the wisdom of Sarah Palin. Their debate was called the Thanksgiving Family Forum, which is fitting, because I've never seen a greater collection of turkeys. I want you to look at the top of their candidate. Take Mitt Romney. He said he'd be in Iowa tonight. We should have known he'd change his mind. Newt was at the debate. He had to leave early. He had to run back to his most important people, the salespeople at Tiffany's. Kane and Rick Perry arrived a little late. They were in their tutorial class. Where's Libya? The truth is, the Republicans do have an impressive field. Governor Mitch Daniels, Governor Haley Barbour, former Governor Jeb Bush. The only problem, they're not on the field. Now, I want you to just think about this, because you all were here 4 years ago, 2008. Think of our field. Vice President Joe Biden. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Former Senator Chris Dodd. President Obama. Now you think of their field. Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, Rick Santorum. Who's not feeling sorry for Republican primary voters now? 4 years ago, at this dinner, and many of you were in attendance, a young senator from my home state of Illinois, who is 23 points down in the polls, spoke to you in words you'll never forget. With the promises he made in that speech, he began a journey that would change history, and he did it with your help. Now, all of us may be a little older and a little grayer, or as my youngest daughter likes to say, they say it's salt and pepper, but for you, Dad, it's all salt. But we can remember what he said, and we can also remember what he said was worth fighting for. He stood on this platform and promised to end a war that should never have been authorized and should never have been waged. Republicans didn't want to let it happen, and be honest, Democrats didn't believe it could. Yet tonight, the last of 170,000 of America's finest are on their way home. The war is over. That is the change we believed in. That is the change we worked for. And that is the change our president delivered. 4 years ago, at this podium and at this very dinner, then Senator Obama promised he would take the fight to Al-Qaeda to those that perpetuated the 9/11 event and those who were responsible for 9/11. He said he would bring justice to Al-Qaeda leaders. Tonight, Osama bin Laden is history. Al-Qaeda has been decimated thanks to the bold and determined leadership of our president. Justice has been done, and America is safer for it. And typical of the person I know, President Obama did not brag. He thanked our troops. He thanked our intelligence services for their excellent work. And he moved on to the next terrorist who was threatening America and brought him to justice. He didn't hang a banner. He didn't pretend that the mission was accomplished. He got the job done. That is the change we believed in. That is the change we worked for. And that is the change the president delivered. 4 years ago, Senator Obama at this podium stood before you and said he wanted to stop talking about the outrage of 47 million Americans without health care and start actually doing something about it. He promised then, I will make certain that every single American in this country has health care they can count on, and I won't do it 20 years from now. I won't do it 10 years from now. I will do it at the end of my first term as president. Now, folks, yep, you know this. Politicians have been talking about this for 60 years. President Obama delivered. Because of President Obama's leadership, an insurance company cannot turn you down because you have a pre-existing condition. Because of President Obama, they cannot discriminate against you because you're a woman or have grown older. Because of President Obama, your children can stay on a parent's policy until they enter the workforce. Because of your support, Iowa, and his courage, no American will ever again receive this letter. Sorry, you reached the limit. We won't pay for your cancer treatment anymore. Republicans opposed every one of those reforms. But now we have those life-saving protections, that peace of mind, because of President Obama's leadership. That is the change we believed in, that is the change we worked for, and that is the change the president delivered. Then Senator Obama stood at this podium 4 years ago, at this dinner, and he promised to make sure that every American child has the best education that we have to offer. From the day they are born to the day they graduate from college. As president, he doubled college scholarships. He expanded Pell Grants. He brought down the cost of college loans. He invested in schools and innovation with Race to the Top. He expanded access to community colleges, our most undervalued educational tool. You gave him that chance, Iowa. Republicans fought him every step of the way, but because of his leadership, millions of young Americans have been given a better chance. That is the change we believed in. That is the change we worked for. That is the change President Obama delivered. You heard him say it right here in Iowa 4 years ago. He made the pledge, not just to you, but to the American people. And now you've seen him deliver on the promises he made. That's how we measure character, doing what you say you will do. Now, I had the privilege of seeing that character close up, working by his side during two of the most harrowing years any president has faced in our lifetime. And no, despite what you're thinking right now, they were not harrowing because I was by his side. They say you can learn most about someone's character in a crisis. And then I think we all know our president pretty well. During our greatest economic crisis in decades, the strength of our president's character was on display every day. The president inherited an economy that was spiraling towards a depression, a financial system that had frozen up, and an auto industry that was near collapse. The problems President Obama faced, they weren't caused by accident. They were caused by policies, Republican policies. The first time I worked in the White House for President Clinton, we had a Democratic president, a Democratic House, and a Democratic Senate. We passed an economic plan without a single Republican vote. And that plan put America back to work and back to economic growth. It created millions of private sector jobs. It lifted 7 million Americans out of poverty. It ended welfare as we know it and put 100,000 cops on America's streets. We balanced the budget. We put America on the path to zero debt. by 2009. That's so far away date. We left President Bush and the Republicans a record surplus, and they left President Obama and the Democrats record national debt. You know how that happened. The Republicans happened. They held the White House, the House, and the Senate for 6 long years. They did something no one had ever tried in 200 years of American history. They tried to fund 2 wars with 3 tax cuts. That's how you go from zero to $9 trillion in debt. That simple. They took everything they inherited, the jobs, the surplus, the stature of America around the world, and they squandered it. It's a bit ironic, isn't it? Because you figured the one thing Republicans were good at was inheriting things. I kind of like that one. But that's what the Republicans handed President Obama and America on day one, January 20th, 2009. The worst economic mess since President Roosevelt took over the presidency from Herbert Hoover. But President Obama didn't complain, and he didn't blame. He knew the burdens on everyday Americans were far worse than the ones he was facing in his own. So he rolled up his sleeves, and he went to work on behalf of the hardworking families of this country. Every day I worked by his side, I saw a leader who didn't ask what the easy thing to do, what was the politically convenient thing to do, but what was the right thing to do? What was the essential thing to do for America and America's future? The president did not make choices based on politics. He made them because of principles. He did not make choices for the next election, but for the next generation. Trust me, I know this firsthand. He didn't make decisions based on whether they were quick or politically convenient, because I was the one giving the advice to go with the quick and politically convenient, and I didn't win any of those fights. President Obama never tailored what he believed in to the moment. Now, I want you to compare that for a second to Mitt Romney, who was once pro-choice, now he's not. Who was pro-gay rights? Now he's not. He supported gun control. Now he doesn't. He supported efforts to deal with greenhouse gases and climate change. Now he doesn't. He supported immigration reform. Now he doesn't. He supported national health care reform with a mandate. Now he doesn't. Mitt Romney says he's a man of steadiness and consistency. And if that's true, then I'm a linebacker for the Chicago Bears. Now, I want you to take a step back, though. While people have talked about all the flip-flops, I actually think there's a different part to Mitt Romney that people don't fully appreciate. It's what he's been steadfast about, what he has refused to give an inch on, what he's refused to bend on, what he will never flip on and never abandon his positions. And that's the position on the middle class versus the most fortunate. What he's failed to do for the middle class and what he is willing to do for the most privileged and fortunate in our society. He faced the same set of choices President Obama did when the country faced an auto industry and a financial industry in crisis. When the markets collapsed in 2008 and the government had to step in, Mitt Romney didn't hesitate for a moment. He welcomed putting taxpayers on the hook to save the financial system. But when the automobile industry and the millions of jobs that are dependent on it, the backbone of America's manufacturing economy, was on the brink, he said to all the families, all the communities, all the small businesses, and all the workers, "You should go bankrupt." Nothing reveals more about the character and the values of these two individuals than how they dealt with these two crises. President Obama did not think either one should be abandoned, the financial system or the auto industry. Both were essential to America's economic leadership and to economic growth in the future. Those were the decisions he faced in the Oval Office. The choices he faced were not easy. For the financial system, It was a choice between more taxpayer money to support the banks or to nationalize them. For the auto company, between helping them out or letting them go bankrupt. There were those who said it was throwing good money after bad. There were those who said let Chrysler go to save GM. And then there were those, led by Mitt Romney, who advocated bankruptcy. We know where Mitt Romney stood. The title of his own op-ed under his signature, Let Detroit Go Bankrupt. To Mitt Romney, the high-priced financial engineers who helped create the mess, they were essential to our future. But the engineers, the technicians, the workers on the shop floor in the auto industry, they were dispensable. They were dispensable. 3 years later, now we know who was right and who was wrong. And even after the auto industry has not only survived, but is thriving, is adding jobs, is paying back all the taxpayers the money, Mitt Romney has stuck to his guns, and he's defending his position to let him go bankrupt. Now look, I'm the mayor from Chicago. We have a plant on the south side. Ford just added 1,200 jobs. In Ohio, Chrysler just added another 1,100 jobs. If we had followed Mitt Romney's advice, those jobs wouldn't be there, and our communities wouldn't be thriving. But you'd maybe say, okay, that's a one-off mistake. Mitt Romney didn't stop there. He continued to show his true colors and how he values the privileged and the affluent over the middle class. Just this summer, Mitt Romney said the president was out of touch for his focus on manufacturing jobs. Out of touch. Mitt Romney has valued outsourcing over those manufacturing jobs. And here in Iowa, right here, he said that corporations are people with all the same rights. In Nevada, one of the states with the worst housing crisis and foreclosure crisis, he said the mortgage crisis should run its course and hit bottom. He had a plan for the speculators to step in, but not for the people living in those homes who are trying to achieve the American dream. So people think he's a flip-flopper. Well, the only thing scarier than what Mitt Romney has flip-flopped on are the issues he's refused to bend on, where he's refused to change. He has been rock solid in siding with the privileged over the middle class. Whether it's homeowners versus speculators, the auto worker versus a financial engineer, or employees versus corporations, he has been consistent on whose side he's on. If you're in the hardworking middle class, you're left for the scrap heap. In the next four years, there will be more challenges and more crisis. As good as I'm standing before you, that's what you can guarantee will happen. That's what comes into the Oval Office. And those challenges and those crises will determine the economic vitality of the middle class and the economic future of this country. Whose character, whose judgment do you want in that Oval Office? Over the next 4 years, there will be a series of choices. And it won't be clear, like in the auto industry, what the outcome will be. We will need leadership. We will need values as guideposts in the Oval Office. The past tells you everything you need to know about Mitt Romney and President Obama, how they will make decisions in the future, and who they will make them for. Middle-class Americans cannot afford Mitt Romney's leadership and values. The middle class of this country are fighting every day to hang on, are fighting with a daily struggle to give their children a better life. They cannot have a leader who turns a blind eye to their struggles. So who do you want in the Oval Office? A man who said that the auto industry and auto workers are dispensable? A man who said that corporations are more valuable than the employees? A man who said that speculators in the housing industry are more important than the families living in those homes? A man who said that the financial engineers are more important than the factory worker? Can we afford Mitt Romney's values? Can we afford Mitt Romney's leadership? Can we afford Mitt Romney's judgment? Can we afford Mitt Romney's character? That is not the America our parents fought for, and that is not the values we are teaching our children. To create a true middle class, a middle class with security, we just can't cut our way to prosperity. We must out-innovate, out-invest, out-educate, and out-build the rest of the world. America cannot afford an economy built on outsourcing and just risky financial deals. We need an economy that's built to last, that creates jobs for the future, that makes the things the rest of the world wants to buy. We need a president who sees America's potential in every American. An America where every American plays a role in winning the 21st century. President Obama believes in an America where hard work pays off, where responsibility is rewarded. He believes in an America where everyone, from Main Street to Wall Street, does their fair share. He believes in an America where we don't have two rule books, one for those at the top and one for everybody else to play by. President Obama believes in the idea that our country prospers when all of us are in this together. That's the American dream. It's the dream that President Obama has lived by. The president was raised by a single mother, a single mom who worked hard and got up before dawn to drill him on reading, math, and history. He earned scholarships to the best schools and rose through hard work and intellect. After he was the president of the Harvard Law, he could have made millions, but his values brought him to the south side of Chicago to help working people who had lost their jobs through no fault of their own. So here's the deal. You know and I know our president is a man of character. He's a man of principle. He's a man who's been fighting for the middle class, and he will continue to fight for middle class families. I know the president's values. I've seen his persistence. You need not ask whether President Obama will continue to fight. The only question is, will we fight for his belief in America? So I want to hear it. Will you fight for the president who is fighting to save the middle class? Will you fight for the president who's fighting to save middle class values? Will you fight for the president who's fighting for an education and a clean environment for all our children? Will you fight for a president who is fighting for equality for all of God's children, men, women, Asian, Hispanic, gay, or straight? So Iowa, let's go to work. Let's get in the fight. Let's support our president, support the middle class. Let's fight for the country we live for what our parents and our grandparents fought for, because America and the middle class are worth fighting for. Thank you, and God bless you.